Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Beis, and we are 13 lines from the top of daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Chel Paras Umadai Hapartiman. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Aharon ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, Eliyoza ben Brindel, Mordechai Israel ben Esther, Chana Rivka bas Freid, Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mindel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Chaya Nechama Edel bas Sara, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sara, Sara Shintza bas Yittel, Eliyo ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Hena Peril bas Yocheved, Fego Liba bas Chava, Rafal Kahas ben Fego, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned to Eloi Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So we're in the middle of the several dafin that discuss the Purim story from the standpoint of being mefarish the psukim of Megillas Esther. So these dafin are really the Torah Shebal Peh to the Torah Shebiksav, which is the Megillah that we lay on Purim. So today's daf is going to really focus on the first several psukim, even though this is a story that we're all familiar with. It's definitely worthwhile just revisiting the actual psukim, and then we'll jump right in. So the Megillah begins, Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. It was in the times of the King Achashverosh. Who was Achashverosh? Who Achashverosh? Hamoylech mehoidu v'yakush sheva v'esrimu mei medina. Achashverosh was a king who ruled from Hoidu until Kush. His kingdom was over 127 medinas. The Gemara said on Daf Yud Aleph that Achashverosh was one of three people that were Moishel Bekipa, that ruled over the entire world. Says the pasuk by Yom Moheim, Kesheves Hamelech Achashverosh Al Kisem Halchusay Asher Beshushan Abira Bishnas Shalosh Lamolchay. More specifically, it was in the third year of his reign. Asa Mishta, he made a party, L'chol Sarah V'Avodav, for all his ministers and all his slaves. Chel Poras Umadai Hapartimim V'Sari HaMedina Yislofanav. He invited all the military personnel, everybody was there. What was the purpose of this? B'Haroisoi Es Oysher Kvoid Malchusoi V'Es Yikar Teferes Gedul Asa. He wanted to show people his power, his might, his great wealth, and that was the purpose of the party. So when did this happen? B'Shnas Sholosh L'Malchai, at the beginning of the third year of his reign. How long did the party last? Yomim Rabim Shmoinim Umaasiyoy. It was 180 days. That's how long the party was. When the 180 days passed, the king went and he made another party. And this party was for the Yid, or the people that lived in Shushan Abira. And it didn't matter what rank or file you were of, but rather every single person that lived in Shushan Abira was invited to this party. How long was this party? Mishta Shivas Yomim was 7 days. Where was it? Bachatzar Ginas Pisan Amelech. It was in the Chatzar, in the garden of the king's palace. So there were two parties. The first party was 180 days long. Then there was another party that was 7 days long. The party that was 180 days was for everybody. L'chol Sarav Avod, of all the governors, the senators, the ministers, everybody came, Mehoidu Vad Kush, to celebrate this 180-day party. Then there was another party, which was much smaller. It was only for the people of Shushan, which was the capital of his Malchus. But everybody was invited. It was Limi Gadol Vad Katan. And then the pasuk goes on to describe some of the things, some of the luxury that was at this party. Chur Karpas Uschelas Achus Bechav Levutz V'Argoman Al Glilei Chesev Amudei Sheish Mitoys, beds that were made of Zav V'Kesev Al Ritzbat Zbad V'Sheish V'Dar V'Soicharis V'Hashkois Beklizah. People were drinking wine out of golden goblets. V'Kelim Mikelim Shoyinim, a whole bunch of different Fashidina types of Kelim. V'Yein Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech Vashtia Kados Einoines Gichein Yisad HaMelech Al Kol Rav Beisoy Lasoitz Kirtzoyin Ishvish. Then the pasuk says that simultaneous to this 7-day party that was taking place in Shushan Abira, there was another party. And this was being hosted not by the king, but rather by the queen. Gam Vashti Amalka, Osasam Mishtei Noshim, Beis HaMalchus, Asher LaMelech Achashverosh. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Ketoiv Lev HaMelech B'Yayin. It was on the 7th day of the 7th-day party. Achashverosh asks Vashti to come and appear on the men's side. She refuses to come. Vashti gets killed, and that's when the Purim story begins to go into motion. Regardless, today's daf is going to focus on that part of the Purim story. Zokti Gemara, Chel Paras Umadai Hapartimim. So the first of Achashverosh's two parties, which was meant for the people of Choshev positions. So when the Pasuk describes who was there, it says, Chel Paras Umadai Hapartim. It says the Gemara of Iksiv, there's another Pasuk that says, Lemalche Madai Uparas. Now where's that other Pasuk? That's at the very, very end of the Megillah. In fact, it's the last Pasuk. V'chomasei tokvei ugvurasei uparashas k'tulas mordechai ashegidlei amelech haloyim k'suvim alsef edivrei ayomim Lemalche Madai Uparas. And essentially the Gemara is asking a question. What's the Kasha? In the beginning of the Megillah, when we refer to Paras Umadai, it's first Paras and then Madai. At the end of the Megillah, when we refer to Paras Umadai, it's first Madai and then it's Paras. So which one was it? Was it Paras Umadai or was it Madai and Paras? Now the truth is, we'll talk about this a little bit more in the raid. Paras Umadai were two distinct Medinois. They weren't the same nation. They were two nations. Now, they're both where modern-day Iran is. But one would be the equivalent of northern Iran, and the other would be the equivalent of southern Iran. So as much as today we think of Iran as being one Medina, which it is, and once upon a time, Paras Umadai often came together, as it does here in the Megillah, but they were two separate Medinas. And the reason they come together is because they had formed the coalition. The purpose of the coalition was to take down the Babylonian Empire. So Nebuchadnezzar, who had established the Babylonian Empire, eventually he gave it over to his son Evil-Merodach, who gave it to his son Belshazzar. They were very powerful, and they were really difficult to defeat. Paras Umadai decided that they're going to join forces, they're going to come together, and by coming together, they would have a shot at overthrowing the Babylonian Empire, and that's exactly what they did. But the Gemara's kasha is, that why is it that sometimes in the Megillah, it's first Paras, then Madai, and then it's sometimes first Madai, and then Paras. So Amar Rava, Rava said that if you want to know the answer, you'd have to look a little bit more closely at the arrangement between Paras and Madai, meaning Asnuye Asnu Bahadadi. When they got together, and they formed this union, what they did was they made the following tonight. They said, Imi non malchi, if the king is going to come from us, minaychu ifarchi, then the officers will come from you. Vimi naychu malchi, and if the king will come from you, minanu farchi, the officers will come from us. Meaning, either you'll control the house and we'll control the Senate, or vice versa. There was some sort of arrangement where they basically created some checks and balances that each one will have some sort of shlita over this malchus. But here's the point. Sometimes the king came from Paras, and sometimes the king came from Madai. So Amar Rava, Rava says, you want to know why sometimes it's called Paras Umadai? That's when the king came from Paras. Why is it sometimes called Madai Uparas? That's when the king came from Madai. Either way, at the beginning of the Megillah, who's the king Achashverosh? Achashverosh is Paras, and that's why it's Chel Paras Umadai. The pasuk continues and says, "Baharoisay es oishen kvoid malchusay," and we need the Bach. The Bach says you have to include the next words, the es yikar teferes k'dulas. Amar Beis Reb Chanino, Reb Yitzchak Reb Chanino, Sema Lamed Yisif Rimei Shalavash Big Dekuna, that Achashverosh was wearing, not a tuxedo, he was wearing the Big Dekuna. That's literally the way he showed up to this party. He was wearing the begadim that the Kohen Gadol used to wear. How do you know? Like Sifach, it says over here, yikar teferes k'dulas. Fiksef Hasam, and it says regarding the Big Dekuna, that it was l'chavoid ule sefares, and we learn from this Kseir Shava, that the clothing that Achashverosh was wearing were the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Uvim lois hayomim ha'ela. So first, Achashverosh made a party. It was 180 days long. And this party was meant for all his officers. And then afterwards, it was a smaller party. It was only for the people in Shushan. Although, it was for all the people in Shushan. It was the Migad of HaKotel. So first, the party for all the people that lived far away. And then there was a party for the people that lived in Shushan. And the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, there was a machloikis, Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar, once and Melech Pikeachai, that Achashverosh was a Melech Pikeach for setting it up in this way. The Chadam and the other one said Melech Tibbishaya. He was actually a foolish king. Manavan Melech Pikeach. The Manavan says he was a Pikeach for what? For first making a party for everybody else and then making it for Shushan. Shaper Rava the Karv Rechika Bereisha. Because he was very wise for first making a party for the people that were far away. Why? Practically. The B'nai Masi Kolei Mistabai Mephayaslu. It's much more difficult to make a party for officers of 127 Medinas. So let's get the difficult party out of the way. And then afterwards, to make a party for Shushan, what's the big deal? It's all my landsmen. That would be very simple. So the fact that he first made a party for the people far away was a Melech Pikeach, meaning he was very, very smart. The one that says he was a tipish, the boyle, the kruv of the Masa Bereisha, that really, he should have done it the other way. First, he should have made a party for the people in Shushan. Why? Because you want to keep your allies close. So really, he should have made a party first for Shushan, like like this, his popularity would have gone up tremendously amongst the people that were surrounding him, so that in the event that there would be a rebellion, this is old school, this used to happen all the time, it was Maisim B'Kol Yoyim, so like this, he would be protected. So not Melech Pikeachaya, but rather Melech Tipeshaya, we're going to get back to this later. Shalu Talmidah Vas Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Talmidah Mas Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Manis Chayvus Neim Shal Yisrael Shal Yisrael Shal Yisrael. What did the Jews of the generation of the Purim story deserve? To be killed. Meaning, there was a gzeira, Lahashmid Laharigul Abed, and it sounds like the Yidden deserved it. So the Talmidah Mas Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, what did the Jews of that generation do to deserve something so terrible? And the truth is, if you think about it in the context, when did this happen historically? It happened approximately 70 years after Churban Bayis Rishon. So the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Averis, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shmichas Damim. These are serious Averis, and the truth is, it led to Churban Beis Hamikdash. But the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. That happened already. And now the Yidden were living in Bavel, and it doesn't seem like the situation was that bad. It does, definitely doesn't seem like it was worse than it was at the time of the Churban. So if at the time of the Churban there was no decree of a final solution, what happened all of a sudden now that this generation did something so terrible that they deserve to be wiped out? So the Gemara says, this was the question they asked him. Amar lehem, so Shem Bar Yochai said, Imru atem, nu, my Talmidim, why don't you try to come up with an answer? Amar lehem, they said, I'll tell you what we think. It's because they partook in the Suda Shalai Seir Asha. They were in Shushan, and they were invited to this party, and they went to the party, and they enjoyed it. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, I hear. But if that's the case, then only the people in Shushan should have had this gzera. Why was the gzera on everybody else? Amrulai said, I hear. Nusa Emirata said, Rebbe, why don't you tell us? So he told him, it's because they bow down to the Tzelem. Rashi says, it's referring to the times of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had erected this very, very large Tzelem, and he forced everyone to bow down to it. And the truth is, everybody did bow down to it. The only ones that didn't bow down to it, we make a very big deal about. Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. They were thrown into the Kivshon Ha'esh, and Mishael ono l'Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, hu yana eschem, right, ad hayom hazeh. But the point is that it looks, seems like everybody else did bow down to it. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that the reason is because they bowed down to the Tzelem. That's why they deserve to be wiped out. They said, said, if that's the reason, then how did we? The Yidden even creep out of this? If all of Klal Yisrael bowed down to the Tzelem, and this was considered so terrible that they deserved to be wiped out, so why were they ultimately forgiven? Why was it in the Hapachula Yehudim? Amar lehem, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, the reason is because Heim lo asu elo lefanim. It's true, they bowed down. But they bowed down, Zok Rashi, one word, miyira, because they were afraid. Meaning, they weren't really worshipping Avodah Zarah. They did this because they were afraid. It's therefore, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Le'asam Amel Lefanim, therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida did the same thing. Meaning, they didn't mean it, so Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean it either. V'ahenu Dechsev, and that's Pshan, the Pasuk that says, Ki Lo'ina Miliboy, that even though there was a terrible gzeira, but Lo'ina Miliboy, Kadosh Baruch Hu never really forgot about the Yidden. He never had a mind to inflict all this pain on the Yidden. The Yidden acted a certain way outwardly, and as a result, Mida Keneged Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also acted a certain way outwardly. But the truth is, the Yidden never meant it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never meant it either. This is something we're going to get back to as well. But just one ha'ara before we go weiter, there was a discussion in our Gemara between Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his Talmidim, what the Yidden deserve to be annihilated. What did they do to deserve the gzeira of Purim? And the initial suggestion of the Talmidim of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, these are great Tanaim, was Mipnei Shenenem Mesudasei Shaloi Sei Rasha. Now, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had a good comeback. He said, if that's the reason, then it should have only affected the people living in Shushan. Why was the Gzeir on every single Yid all over the world? But really, were it not for that Kasha, it seems like the fact that the Yidden were Nenem Mesudasei Shaloi Sei Rasha, the fact that the Yidden were involved in the Suda v'Achashverosh, in it of itself, would have warranted the gzeira of Lahashmid Laharigul Abed. And the truth is, if you think about it, it's Sarachi and Gadol. Very, very shver. Now, there's no question the Suda of Achashverosh wasn't a Suda that an Upkehit and a Yid belonged at. For many, many reasons. There was Gilui Arayis there. There were a lot of things there that really a good, observant Jew had no business partaking in. But at the same time, a Gzeir of Lahashmed Ulaharig, how do you understand? What would have been the Havamina that because the Yidin had Anah, Mesudasei Shaloisei Rasha, so that would have been enough of a reason for them to deserve such a terrible Gzeir? So I think the Teretz is, and really the Chassam Sofer talks about this in his drashas. He says that what was the whole idea? Why did Achashverosh celebrate? Why did he make this big party? So the pasuk says it was Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh, and the Gemara said in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, what does it mean Kesheves? La'achash and Nesiyash V'daitoi. After Yadisha V'adas. See what happened was Achashverosh, just like all the Persian and Babylonian kings, were aware of Yirmiyahu HaNavi's Nevuah. The Nevuah was that the Yidden would go into Golus. They'd go into Golus for a fixed amount of time, for 70 years, but then ultimately they would be redeemed. And in the back of their mind, they always knew that the day of the Jewish redemption is going to be coming. And as a result, they were living with a little bit of fear. But then, when the 70 years passed, according to the Cheshbon Achashverosh, and the Yidden weren't redeemed, so Achashverosh was able to breathe a sigh of relief. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, what does it mean, Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh? La'achash and Nesiyash V'daitei. Once he had Yishev Adas, and he realized that the Yidden are not going to be redeemed, and the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be rebuilt, it was at that point that he decided to celebrate. How did he celebrate? He made a party that was 180 days long for all his chel paras umadai apartim. And then he made another party for the people of Shushan, 7 days, l'migodavat katan. Abizoktach sam soifer. What was the essence of this party? Why was he celebrating? Because on some level, he was relieved because he realized now that all the prophecies that spoke about the fact that one day the Yidden would be redeemed, they'd be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, there'd be a Beis HaMikdash again, all those prophecies were null and void. They weren't a geyah. So says the Chasam Sofer, how could a Yid have possibly participated in such a party? This wasn't some frivolous event. This was an event that was very much related with the fact that the 70 years had passed and that the Yidden are not going to be redeemed. What Achashverosh do? He takes out the Big Day Kahuna. He takes out all the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. He did defiled the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. This was a party that came to celebrate the fact that the Yidden weren't going to be redeemed. And the Chasam Sofer says, that's why this was so terrible. It was so terrible because it was perceived that the Yidden partaking in such a party meant that the Yidden were, A, giving up. But worse than that, they didn't even care. And maybe even worse than that, they were happy. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing the fact that the 70 years had passed and the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu and Daniel isn't happening. They'll stay in Bavel, they'll assimilate, and says the Chasam Sofer, that's why it was such a big deal. The fact that they were Nenem Mesudasa Shalai Sarash, I think it's a tremendous yesod and an insight in terms of better understanding the whole story of Purim. Either way, Zakti Gemara Vaiter. The Chatzar Ginas Pisan HaMelech. So this party that took place for 7 days in Shushan Abir, where was it? It was in the Chatzar. So Chatzar is a courtyard. Ginas, that's a garden. Pisan is a palace. So the Kasha is, which one was it? Was it in the courtyard? Was it in the garden? Or was it in the palace? So the Gemara says, Rav Shul is machlekes Rav Shul. Chadama one said, Aroy l'chatzar l'chatzar, Aroy l'gina l'gina, Aroy l'bisan l'bisan. So there was a pecking order. Some people were in the chatzar, some people were in the gina, and then the most chasha people, they were in the palace. Chadama, the other one said, no, Hashivim b'chatzar. First, the party started off in the chatzar, v'leichzikasen. But there wasn't enough room in the chatzar. The big gina, so they moved to the gina, v'leichzikasen. He had no choice, but he had to invite everyone into the palace because the party was literally, there were so many people there. V'leichzikasen, then there was an opinion. So he's a ton of, right, said a different shot. Hashivim b'chatzar, he brought him into the chatzar, pasach lam shnei psachim. And there were two doors that were open that were leading out of the chatzar. Echel Gina, one went into the garden, Echel Abisan, and the other one went into the palace. Chur Karpasus Chelas. This is part of the opulence of the party. My Chur, what is Chur? Rabba Merav said Chari Chari. These were tapestries that had holes in them. The Shmula Mashmul said Melas Lavana Hitzilahem. This was like a very valuable type of wool. Karpas, what is this? It's not the Karpas of the Leil HaSeder. So what is this Karpas? Amr Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanino, Karim Shel Pasim. These were pillows that were made of pasim, as in Ksoinus Pasim, some very, very valuable material. Al Glile Kesev Va'amude Sheish Mitois Zahav Kesev. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda says, so was it Kesev? Was it Zav? Right, Mitois that were made of Zav and Kesev. Was it gold or silver? So you said a royal Kesev, the Kesev, royal Zav, the Zav. Some were made of gold, some were made of silver, and it depended on your rank. If you were worthy, you got gold. If you weren't worthy, you got silver. Rabbi Nechemi told Rabbi Yehuda, Kenat Amato, Kenat Besuda. That's not a good idea. Now all of a sudden you're making social classes in the Suda, meaning not everyone's gonna be in the same place. So if that's the case, you're giving some people gold, some people silver, the other people are going to feel bad. Tosfos says, how come the Gemara didn't ask that a few lines ago? When we said some people were in the garden, some people were in the chatzah, some people were in the palace. Why don't you say the same thing? I am Tosfos. Elo said, Rav Nechemia, Him shall cast. So if the beds themselves were made of silver, Raglayim shall zav, and the legs were made of gold. Bahat vashesh. Amr Asi, what's bahat? Avonim, these are stones. Shemeschoitetois al baleim. That they're owner has to work very hard in order to acquire. The pasuk says, "Avni Nezer misnoisesois alad masay." The darvesoi charis. Rav Amarav says, "Dari dari." So these were rows of very valuable things. Shmuel Amashmuel said, "Evan toivi yech b'krakayam." This is a very valuable stone. The darish shmat it's called rari. Shiva bem tsesuda. He placed in the middle of the meal. Mirulam gitzarayim and it lit up the whole room. The Rabbi Shmuel tano. The Shiva Rabbi Shmuel. They used to teach a brayse that said that what does it mean? The darvesoi charis. That what he did was during those 7 days he lifted all the taxes. So for all the business people like this, they didn't have to worry about paying taxes. So they were drinking from golden goblets, and then it says the kalim mikalim shayin. There were different types of kalim. Faith the Gemara meshunim ibay. The proper dictic would have been not kalim shayinim, but kalim meshunim. Says the Gemara. Oh, my Rava. Rava says the reason it says shayinim is because yatzis abaskal. Abaskal came out for Amar Lahem and it said to them, Rishayinim kalim apnei kalim. Atam shayinim behem. The Rishayinim Baal Shetzar. What was his downfall? What took Baal Shetzar down? He took out the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, and that's how he lost everything. It says vatam shayinim. You're repeating what was already done. You're doing it again. V'yein malchus rav. Oh my rav. Rav said, "Malamish kolecha dechad ishko yayin shingadol mimena b'shan." What does it mean? V'yein malchus rav. So they would ask you your age, and then they would pour you wine that was older than you are. Vashtia kados ein oynes. Ma kados. Amar abchanim mishum rameir. Kedosh shal Torah. The drinking followed the guidelines of the Torah. Ma dash shal Torah chilim ruv mishtia. Just like what's the way to drink and eat? Really have a suda al pidas Torah. It's to have more food than drinking. So as much wine as there was, that's a huge emphasis here in the Psukim, but at the same time, there was a chila that was merubim mishtiyah. Everyone was able to drink what they were used to, what they were accustomed to. Meaning no one had to force it. Everyone had what they wanted. So Rava says, that everything was done under the auspices of Mordechai and Haman. The ish ve'ish, one ish is Mordechai, the other one is Haman. How do you know that? Mordechai dechsev ish Yehudi. Haman dechsev ish tzar v'oyen. If you take a look at Rashi, on the last line, Rashi says, what does it mean, kirtzoyin Mordechai v'Haman? Heim hoyu sari hamashkim b'mishta. They were the sari hamashkim. So the sari hamashkim of Parshas Vayeshev fame, they were the sari hamashkim. So you want to know who the sari hamashkim were? It was Mordechai and it was Haman. The Marsha says, Mordechai was the sari hamashkim? Haman was the Sarah Mashkin. Doesn't sound like this was a job that Mordechai would take. Doesn't sound like this was a job that was befitting for Haman. So what does it mean that they were the Sarah Mashkin? So says the Marsha, that maybe what it means is not that they were actually pouring wine, but everything was done under their hashkacha. Meaning Haman wanted his types of wines, and Mordechai wanted to make sure it was Mavoshal, right? He had to have his types of wines. So like this, everybody ended up getting what they wanted, and that's why it was Lasis Kutzayin Ish V'ish. But Rashi, taken at face value, seems to say that Mordechai and Haman were the Sarah Mashkin. Definitely interesting. Pasuk says, Gam Vashti Amalka, it sounds like Vashti made her party in the Beis HaMalchus. Sounds like she made it in the main area. Sounds like it was a separate party. If it was a separate party, it should have been in the Vabas section. Beis HaNoshim. So Freik the Gemara, Beis HaMalchus, Beis HaNoshim Yibayu. Oh my Rabba says, Shem Lut V'Arveir Neschavno. Now the reason is because Achashverosh and Vashti, they both were thinking Avera. And wherever the Gemara says Avera in Shas and doesn't clarify what the Avera is, it's Znos, it's Gili Arayis. This is what people mean when they say Iyu Bikari, he has big pumpkins, the Itzna Bibutzini, and she with smaller. Meaning, they're both thinking the same thing. One, the man is on a grander scale, and the woman maybe on a lesser scale. But the point is, they were both thinking of Dvar Avera, they were both thinking of Znus. Rashi says, Zen Noyef, Vizu Noyefes, and at the end of the day, that's why she made her party be Beis HaMalchus Fakert. It was done dafka together with her husband. So it was the seventh day, and Achashverosh was in a good place. It was Ketoiv Lev HaMelech B'Yayin. What, up until now, he wasn't Toiv Libe B'Chamra? And if you're keeping score, 180 days of a party, plus another 7 days, this is day 187. All of a sudden, Kitoiv Lev HaMelech B'Yayin Amar Rava says Yom HaShvi'i Shabbosai. This wasn't Yom HaShvi'i, just the seventh day of the 7 day party in Shushan, but it was the seventh day of the week, and it was Shabbos Kodesh. Yisrael Eichel V'Shoisen, and Yid didn't eat and drink. Now, when a Yid eats and drinks, what happens? When a Yid has a little bit of alcohol inside his system, Nichnas Yayin, Maschilim B'Devrei Toiro, B'Devrei Sushbachas, they start talking and learning, they start singing, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avdei Kechavim, Sha'Eichel V'Shoisen, Ei Maschilim El B'Devrei Tiflas. When Avdei Kechavim eats and drinks, what comes out? Znus comes out. And that's what took place by the Suda Vayisir Rasha. What was the conversation? So again, Parasu Madai are there. So the people from Madai said, Medios nois, that the women from Medios are more beautiful than the women from Paras. My wife, she's not from Madai, she's not from Paras. Ela Kazdi, she's Babylonian. Do you want to see her? They said, in, yes, but on the condition that she comes not wearing any clothing. Why did Vashti have to suddenly be subject to something so cruel? Because Baruch Hu was punishing Vashti, Mida Keneged Mida. What does that mean? Vashti Arisha had Jewish girls that were her slaves, that were working for her. She would force them to take their clothing off and do Malacha b'Shabbos on Shabbos. And that's why on Shabbos Kodesh, Vashti herself gets Mida Keneged Mida. This is the beginning of the Venapachu. She gets a Mida Keneged Mida that on Shabbos she has to come aruma, the same exact thing that she used to do to the Bnei Yisrael on the same day that she used to do it to the Bnei Yisrael. That's Pshat in the pasuk that says, "Acha advarim ma'ilu k'shoy chamas ha'melach achashverosh zocher es vashti ve'isa asher asasa ve'isa asher nigzar aleh." Isa Sherasasa, Veisa Shenigzorale, what does this mean? Kashem Shaasasa, just like Vashti did, Kach Nigzorale, that's what was decreed on her. So whatever she did, she got back, Mida Kenegan Mida. So she used to do this to the Bnei Yisrael, that's why this happened to her. Either way, so this is the conversation, this is the Divrei Tiflis that's going on during this party. Achashverosh now calls for Vashti and per what everybody was suggesting, asks Vashti to come, Aruma. Vatimoina Malka Vashti. But Vashti refused to come. Freit Gemar Mechti. Pritzasa Havoi. She was a Prutza. The Amamar, how do you know that? Shem Dvar Venus Chav. We just said it a second ago. She didn't make her party based on Oshim, was based on Malchus, because she's thinking the same thing. So why didn't she come? Am Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Malamich, a Parch about Saras. All of a sudden, she broke out in Saras, and that's why she didn't want to come. She was embarrassed. But Masnisa Tana, we learned in Hebrews, everyone knows this, Bug Gavriel. Gavriel came va'asol azonov and made her a tail, and that's why she didn't want to come. Yitzvah HaMelech Moed, when the king realized that she didn't want to come, he got very, very angry. The Mar says, "Amai dolke be'kuliyai? Why was he so angry?" Meaning, it's true, Vashti refused to come, but at the same time, va'yiktzev HaMelech Moed, in a few lines, Achshverosh is going to kill her. Like, why did he get so on my Rava? Rava said, this is the rest of the story. Because Vashti didn't just not come. She sent the following message to her husband, the king, Achashverosh. He said, He said, you are not like the stable boy of my father. What do you mean? Abba lekabel alfa chamri shase. My father, he used to be able to drink literally 1,000 times the amount that you drink. V'lei ravi. And it didn't affect him. Vahu gavra ishtati b'chamri. And you, a little bit of drink, you drank a little too much. Ketoiv lev ha'melech b'yayin. And all of a sudden, b'sarupten zinin. And all of a sudden, you're asking me to do something like this. So the Gemara says, miyad, when he heard that, v'chamosay barabai. That's when he got angry. So he didn't get angry so much because Vashti refused to come. He got angry because of the way Vashti spoke to him. So the king turned to the chachamim. He said, what am I supposed to do? My wife just did this to me, embarrassed me, humiliated me. At the end of 187 days of partying, this is how it all comes to an end, and he mamish doesn't know what to do. So he turns to the chacham. The Gemara says, "Man chacham rabbanon." These were the rabbanon. Yoidei ho'itin. Shin yoidim la'aber shana kvei chadashim. They know the sugis and maseches Rosh Hashanah. They know how to do ibra chaydesh. They know how to do ibra shana. Amar lohu. So he told them, "Dainuli, help me out here. I need help." Amru. So they huddled together and they said like this: "Heichinav, what should we do? Namely, katla. Should we say kill your wife? L'malchah. The next day, pasalei chamra. He's going to sober up. Uboy laminon. And he's going to come to us with dainus. He says, "What, you seriously? You told me to kill my wife? Why? Because she didn't want to come to a party? Namely, shafka." Should we tell him, let her go? We may get into big trouble. Because he may feel that we're not showing enough respect for his malchus. Amrulai, so the chachamim, they were chachamim for a reason. So they turned to Achashverosh and they said, we have to recuse ourselves from this. Why? Because from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Golinu Meretzeinu, we were taken into Golus, nitle etzam imenu. We don't have the ability anymore to think of good etzes. We don't know how to paskin dinei nefashis. Right? This is a little bit of a jab at Achashverosh. Right? Achashverosh, who we spoke about yesterday, is so Moiser Nefesh to make sure there's no Beis HaMikdash. But listen, we have no Beis HaMikdash, thank you. And as a result, we're stuck and we're not in a position anymore to come up with any good Eitzes. He says, you want an Eitzah? Zilagabi Amenumov. Go to Amenumov. The Yosef B'Tuchtayo, they're in their place. Kechamra the Yosef Aldurdayo, presumably a pun, like wine that's sitting in its place. And go to them. V'tamo. Right? They're like this, everything is fine. Amrulay the Chsiv, how do you know that? And they explained the Shana Mayim and Ura, the Shaykitu al Shmar of Lehurk Mikli al Kluba Gadalayalach, Akin Amatamibai, Verechel and Omar. Right? They weren't thrown from place to place like we were. As a result, they're able to give good eitzes. What do you want from me? Miyad. So when the king realized that he wasn't going to get a good eitzah from the Jews, so he turned now to his next best set of advisors. And who were they? Vakoravelov. Who was next to him? Karshno Shesar Admosa Sarshish. Omer Rab Levi. So Rab Levi said, Kol Pasik said, this entire Pasik, Al Shum Karbonis Nemer. There's a drush in this Pasik. He turned to his group of advisors. But the Gemara says that really there's a drush, and the drush is that the entire Pasik is a remes to Karbonis. Karshna, what does Karshna mean? Amru Malachi Ashos Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said at this exact moment, Ribbono Shel Olam, Krum Ekrivi Lefanecha Karim Bnei Shana, Kederech Shekrivi Yisrael Lefanecha, did the Umayisa Olam, did they bring Karbanus? Did they bring Karim B'nei Shana? The way the Yidden did? Shesar. Klumet Krivel of Vanecha Shnei Tyrim? Did they bring Shnei Tyrim? Different types of Karbanus. At Masa, Klum Banu Lefanecha Mizbeach Adama? Tarshish. Klum Shimshu Lefanecha Bebigdei Kuhuna? Dechzibu Tarshish V'shoyam V'yashve? What, did they serve you in your holy temple like the Kayhanim did? Meres. Klum Mirsu Bedam? Lefanecha, did they mix dam? Marsna, klum mirsu be menachis lefanecha? Did they bring menachis? And when do you mix menachis? Belila. Did they do belila? Memuchan, klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha? Did they bring a shulchan? Says the Gemara. So Achashverosh turned to his seven advisors and he asked them, what should I do? One of the seven, his name was Memuchan, said, Tan, says the Gemara, what did he say? Kilvash. Now, who was Memuchan? Memuchan said Haman. Memuchan was Haman. Memuchan, why was it called Memuchan? Shem Muchan Leperonius. Because he was Muchan Leperonius. I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Mikan, you learn from here. Shahedyet Koifetz Beroish. Where do you see that? Because if you look inside the Pasuk, when the Pasuk mentions these seven people, so it says, Karshno Shesar, Admosa Sarshish, Meres, Marsuno, Memuchan is mentioned seven. So he's the one that's mentioned seven, presumably because in rank he's number seven, yet who's the one that jumps up first and he's the one that gives the Eitzah? It was Memuchan. And Rav Kahana said, this is Stam, a good lesson. Some good thing to know. Mikancha hedi kaifetz berosh. And it's always the person that it's on the lowest level, he's the one that's kaifetz berosh. But the Gemara says, who was Memuchan? Memuchan was Haman. Toisvis, the last Toisvis on the Yom, it says, Yesh Medrish Shahoya Daniel. There's a Medrish that says that Memuchan wasn't Haman. Memuchan was Daniel. So this is literally Mikotze el Akotze. Was Memuchan Haman? Maybe Memuchan was Daniel. Either way. So what happened? They go ahead and they kill Vashti. And after they kill Vashti, they send out a letter. And the letter goes out to all the Medinois, all 127 Medinois that are underneath the control of Achashverosh. And it says, Liois kol ish soirer beveisoi, umedaber kil shoin lamli. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Rava said, Umali igre sori shoinis. We're not for the fact that these letters were sent out, lo inishtair misoinem shay Yisrael soridu polit. Then the Yidden would have been killed. Well, what does that mean? Because Amri, when they got this letter, they said, "My hide the shadol on Leah's kodesh soir bebeisai." Pshita. What's the chiddush? There's a chiddush that a man is supposed to be the soir bebeisai. Everyone knows that. Afilu karcha, even a weaver, bebeisai pardashcha lahava. In his house, he's a pardashcha. Okay, so how did that save the Jews? Because like this one, they sent the second letter, and the second letter was to go set a date where they're going to attack the Jews. Nobody took it so seriously, and the reason is because they saw the first letter wasn't so relevant. So presumably, the second letter isn't going to be so relevant either. So the fact that this letter was sent, this is again another knetch, another wrinkle in the miracle that took place during the Purim story. We're moving along very, very quickly. So now Achashverosh killed the queen And now he has to find a queen. So v'yafkid hamelech pekidim b'chol medina ismalchusay v'yik b'tzua skol naira b'sula teves maro shushan abir al-beis ha-noshim el yad heges ris hamelech shoymer ha-noshim v'nosin b'tamrukim. Amar Rav said, ma'idach siv, what's pshat in the pasuk that says kol orum yaseh b'das uchsil yifroish iveles? So an orum, a smart person, knows how to go about things in a clever way. But the ksil, the fool, he's yifroish iveles. He goes about it in a silly way. It's referring to David HaMelech. The pasuk says, so this is talking about Vayikin Zakin David. When David HaMelech was old and he was cold and he needed someone to warm him up, so they went and they found a young Naira to be able to help David HaMelech so that he would feel warm. Now, over there, the pasuk says that they said that they were looking for one Naira. That's what they were looking for. No, they were looking for one Naira. Man, the Havale Barta, Aysen Ale. Whoever was a Naira, whoever had a daughter that was a Naira, so brought this Naira because maybe she'll be the one to be Zoicha to David HaMelech. That's referring to Achashverosh. What did Achashverosh do? Achashverosh said every single Besula, every Naira has to come. So what happened was people realized that what's going to happen? What's going to happen is Achashverosh is going to be boil everybody. Who knows what he's going to do? And as a result, and everyone's going to be defiled and violated. Only one person's going to end up being the queen. So nobody wanted to have anything to do with it. David HaMelech was looking for one Naira Besula. So he went about it in a clever way. Achashverosh was looking for all the Nairois Besulois. So that's what Rav teached. Kol Orem Yase Bedas Uchsil, as opposed to the Ksil, is Yifrois Iveles. So just three Ha'aris, maybe four, short, Divrei Torah, as it relates to today's daf. This is Poshet Purim Torah, not Purim Torah in the Purim Torah sense, but just different Vertlach, different Divrei Torah that are relevant to Purim. Number one. So at the beginning of the daf, the Gemara said that Achashverosh made two parties. He made one party that was for Chel Paras Umadei Hapartimim. It was for all the officers, all the people of rank and file. And he had all these different officers invited to this party. The party lasted 180 days. And then after the 180 day party, he made a second party. And this second party was Dafka for the people living in Shushan Abira. It was for everybody in Shushan Abira. It didn't matter where you rank. And this party was only 7 days. But first he made a party for everybody, and then he made a party for the people in Shushan. And the Gemara said it was Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether the way Achashverosh went about it strategically was Pikchis or whether it was Tipshis. Rav and Shmuel, Chadama one said Melech Pikeachaya, the Chadama the other one said Melech Tipeshaya. I once heard, and this is Purim Torah, that somebody got up and spoke, it was around Purim time, and he said, if you think about it, really, Rav is accusing Shmuel of being a Tipish, and Shmuel is accusing Rav of being a Tipish. Why? Because what Rav thinks is Pikchis, Shmuel thinks is Tipshis. And what Shmuel thinks is Pikchis, Rav thinks is Tipshis. So really, Shmuel says, oh wow, he's a genius. And Rav, Shmuel says, no, he's a Tipish, he's a Shaita. So what essentially are you saying? That what you think is Pikchis is really Tipshis. That's a little, but regardless, the Gemara says, Chadam on one said he was a Melech Pikeachaya, and the Chadam on the other one said, Melech Tipishaya. But the Gemara doesn't say who said what. Who said he was a Melech Pikeach, and who said that he was a Melech Tipish. But Rav Reuven Margolis, in a Sefer Shem Olam, where he goes through all the Chadamars and the Chadamars, he says that there's a hint to this in today's daf. Beautiful. The last Gemara we learned. The Gemara in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara quoted a pasuk, Kol Orem Yase Bedas. Any person that's clever, he's Yase Bedas. Uksil, and the Ksil is Yifrois Iveles. The Ksil, he spreads silliness. And the Gemara said, who's the Kol Orem Yase Bedas? That's referring to David HaMelech. Who's the Ksil Yifrois Iveles? That's referring to Achashverosh. Who said this? Rav said it. So Zok Rav Reuven Margolis. It's a Mefurash Gemara that Rav said, Uksil Yifrois Iveles Ze Achashverosh. That he's the Ksil of that Pasuk in Mishlei. So Zok Rav Reuven Margolis, it's Gevaldik. Machloikis, whether it was a Melech Pikeach, it was a Melech Tipish. Chadam a Melech Pikeach, Chadam a Melech Tipish. We don't know who said what. Did Rav say it was a Pikeach, or did Shmuel say it was a Pikeach? He said it's a Mefurash Gemara. The Gemara said on Amud Beis that Rav said he's a Ksil Yifrois Iveles. So you see that Rav held that Achashverosh was a Tipish. He was a Ksil, Tipish. It's a same thing. Me'inyan Indian, very much Baisa Indian. See, he's the one that held he was a tippish. If he's held a tippish on Amid Base, so he's the one that held he was a tippish on Amid Al. But Hezra Ruv Margolis, I think you could even add one Knech. Because there's a Gemara in the Sechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Misayeh Aleilu Rav. The Amar Rav, Rav said, Asr La Adam Sheyoy Mer Kamena Oyvedes Koychavam Zu. It's Asr for a person to say, Kamena, how beautiful is Oyvedes Koychavam Zu? And the reason is because it says in the Torah, Loisichane, and you're not allowed to even say nice things about an Oyved Koychavam, about an Oyvedes Koychavam. Who said this? Rav said this. So said Rav Ruvim Ragolis, it's Mistaba that Rav Lashitasai, who holds Asr La Adam Sheyoy Mer Kamena Oyvedes Koychavam Zu, would have never said about Achashverish that he was a melech pikeach. So Rav Lashitasai, who holds Loisachanim, that Asr Adam Sheyem Kamenah Vedes Kechavim Zu, he must be the one that holds melech Tipeshaya. And it's Rav Lashitasai on Amid Beis, because Rav Lashitasai on Amid Beis said, Kol Aram Yaseh Bedas Uksil Yifrei Siveles. Who's the Ksil that Yifrei Siveles? It's referring to Achashverish. So number one, you have a raya that Rav wouldn't say Achashverish melech pikeachaya, and you have a raya that Rav said clearly that Achashverish was a melech Tipesh. That's the first star. The second ha'ara is the Rokeach, and it's quoted by the Bnei Yisachar in his Mamorim on Chanukah, in Parsh says, Adavar Nifl. We know that one of the places that the Torah talks about the Mayadim is in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, you have the Parsh of the Mayadim. Kiddush that we make on Yontif comes from Parshas Emor. Eila Mayad Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Ashatikro Oisim Mayadim is a pasuk of Parshas Emor. And then right afterwards, you have all the Yomim Toivim. You have the Yontif of Pesach, you have the Yontif of Shavuos, you have Sfir Sa'omer, you have the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, you have Yom Kippur, you have Sukkis. After the Parsha of the Mayadim, the next psukim are Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer Tzaves Bnei Yisrael V'yikwe Lecha Shemin Zayich Zach Kosses Lamar Lahalus Ner Tamin. And you have the parasha of the Menorah. So the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim, said a Dover Nifla. He said that right after the parasha of Mayadim, you have the parasha of the Menorah. Now the parasha of the Menorah is mentioned parasha of Aloyscha, Aloyscha Saneris. You have it in parasha of the Tzav, but one of the places that you have it is in parasha's Emor, right after the Mayadim. So the Rokeach said, what's it doing right after the Mayadim? He said, this is a remez in the Torah to the Yontif of Chanukah. That one day there's going to be a Yontif, and this Yontif is going to be centered around the mitzvah of Adlokis HaMenorah. So the Yikhoi Lech Hashem in Zayezach, Kosis Lamar, Lahalois Ner Tomin, Ala Menorah, Tahoira, Yarachas Haneris, we mention all the Yomim Tovim. We start with Pesach, you have Sefiras HaOmer, you have Shavuos, you have Rosh Hashanah, you have Yom Kippur, you have Sukkis, and then afterwards you have Balois Chasaneris. What's the Menorah doing here? Oh, because it's another Yontif. This is a remez to the Yontif of Chanukah. But the Yisachar brings us from the Rokeach. Right afterwards, the very, very next parsha is V'lokachta Soiles V'afisa Oiso Shteim Esrei Chalois Shnei Esrei Nemiyah Chalo Ha'echos. Torah talks about the Shulchan, and the Torah mentions the mitzvah of the Lechem Aponim. The Rokeach, in that piece that the Bnei Yisachar quotes, goes weiter. He says that V'yesh Loimar, that this parsha right here, the parsha of the Lechem Aponim, is a remez to another Yontif that's not mentioned in the Torah. And that's the Yontif of Purim. That the Yontif of Purim is merumas in the Lechem Aponim. Now this is a little bit harder to understand. The fact that the Yontif of Chanukah is symbolized in the mitzvah of the Menorah, that everybody knows. But what does the Yontif of Purim have to do with Lechem Mishnah? What does the Yontif of Purim have to do with the Shulchan? So Pashup Shad is, because the Lechem Aponim was bread, and bread is Suda, and on Purim there's a mitzvah, Mishta and Simcha, and that's the Pashup Shat. But the Chasam Sofer in a few places says, a dover nifla ad lema'od. Says the Chasam Sofer, yesh loimer. You want to know what the Sheiches is between the Yontif of Purim and the Lechem Mishnah and the Shulchan? He says, because the Gemara says that when Achashverosh turned to his seven chevra, and he wanted to know what to do about the fact that Vashti refused him and didn't just refuse him in such a disrespectful way. So the Pasuk mentions their name, Karshna, Shesar, Admasa, Sarshish, Meres, Marsana, Memuchan. And the Gemara says that all these names were really a remes to the taina that the Malachi Asharis had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that very given moment. So just picture the scene, what's going on in the palace, and Vashti just refused, and Achashverosh is completely doubled over. He's been drinking for 187 days. And the question is like, how do you handle the whole situation? So he turns to his Misharsim, what should we do? At that second, at that very moment, says the Gemara, which is the more dramatic reading of what the Gemara says, Mefurish, all of a sudden there's a big tumult in Shamayim. And the Malachi Asharis turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now's the time. Now's the time. You see where things are heading. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Everything's heading in the wrong direction. There's an opportunity now to make it happen. We get Vashti killed now. Esther will become the queen. Eventually, there's going to be a gula. And the malachim are lobbying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the lobbying of the malachim is merumis in the names of these seven Misharsim. Amru lefan of Rebbeinu Shalom. Klum ekrivu lefanecha karim b'nei shana. Sheisar. Klum ekrivu lefanecha shnei toirin. Admasa. Klum banu lefanecha mezbeach adama. Tarshish. Klum shimshu lefanecha bebigdei kuhuna. Meres. Klum mirsu bedam lefanecha marsno. Klum mirsu bemenachis lefanecha memuchan. What's Mamuchan? Klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. Sedach sam soifer doven neira. He said, Mamuchan, who's Haman? Mamuchan's the one that gave the Eitzah to kill Vashti. What were the Malachim saying? What's Merumiz in Mamuchan? It was Klum hechinu lefanecha shulchan. The Yidden used to do the mitzvah of the Shulchan when there was a Beis HaMikdash. There was a coin that every Shabbos would put Yud Beis Chalas, and then the Mishmaros would divide it, and they would take Shnei Bezichel Avayna, and they would be Makdir on the Mizbech HaChitzayin. This is what went on. This was Memuchan, and ultimately it was through Memuchan that the Geula came. It was through Memuchan that Vashti gets killed and Esther becomes the queen, and that's when the whole story happens. So what triggered the story? It came through the Taina of Memuchan. And what was the taina of Memuchan? Klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. Said the Chassam Sofer, that's the remez. The Rekeach said that in the lechem upon him, it's merum is the Purim story. Ma inyan Purim story, it's all the shulchan. What's have to do with the lechem upon him? The teretz is the Gemara. Because the Gemara said the koyach hataina was klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. And that was in Memuchan, who was Haman, through whom the whole inyan happened. He's the one that gave the eitzah to kill Vashti. That's the remez. So you have right after the parish of the Mayadim and parish of Zemar. You have the parish of the Menorah, and then you have the parish of the Lechem Aponim. Zokter Rekeach, the Menorah is a remes to Chanukah. That's easy. But the Lechem Aponim is a remes to Purim. What's the Shaykh between Lechem Aponim and Purim? Sedach Sam Sofer, it's a Mefurish Gemara in the Sechtes Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. Moving along. So, in yesterday's Daf, and Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara said, Vayhibi Meach HaShveirosh, Huach HaShveirosh, HaMoylech, says the Gemara, what's this lashon hamoylech? Hamoylech, said the Gemara, means shemalach meyatzmai. He never won an election. He was never chosen to be king, but he was malach meyatzmai. Why was he malach meyatzmai? So the Gemara says, amri lo l'shvach, v'amri lo l'gnai. But hamoylech means he was malach meyatzmai. Rashi adds, now what does it mean? Shaloi hoya mizera hamalucha. That really Achashverosh did not have lineage from the kings. Meaning he wasn't a ben melech, he wasn't a ben benoishal melech, he was loy hoya mizera hamalucha. And because he wasn't from the zera hamalucha, really he wasn't fit to be king. However, he was a moylech, he was a malach meyatzmai. The truth is, this Rashi is very, very shver. The Medrash says that Achashverosh was very much the son of a king. In fact, Achashverosh was the son of the king Daryavesh. Daryavesh was one of the first Persian kings. He had a son. His son's name was Achashverosh. In fact, the Medrash says that when Daryavesh overthrew Balshetzar on that very night, so Daryavesh is going through Balshetzar's castle. I mean, this is Nebuchadnezzar's castle, that Yarshan. So he's going through, you can imagine how majestic it is. And he's going through room to room. He walks into one room and he sees a girl crying. And this girl was very, very noisachem by Daryavesh. He goes over to the girl, says, "Who are you?" She says, "My name is Vashti. I'm the daughter of Balshetzar. Balshetzar is my father." And she was very scared because she understood that Daryavesh was on the other side and that meant she's probably going to be killed. And she cried and she pleaded for Daryavesh to spear her. And not only did Daryavesh not kill her, but says the Medrash, Daryavesh told Vashti, "I want you to marry my son." Daryavesh wanted to have some of the blood and some of the lineage of Nebuchadnezzar inside his bloodline. And as a result, he took Vashti and married Vashti to his son Achashverosh. So Achashverosh is the son of Daryavish. He's very, very much Mizera Hamalucha. So it's a Pella. Rashi says that Achashverosh was Malach Me'atzma. What does it mean was Malach Me'atzma? Shalayhoya Mizera Hamalucha. What do you mean Shalayhoya Mizera Hamalucha? He was very much Mizera Hamalucha. He was the son of Daryavish. That's how he ended up marrying Vashti, who was the daughter of Belshazzar, who was a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So how could Rashi say Shalayhoya Mizera Hamalucha if Chazal say that he was the son of Daryavish? But I think the Pshat is Pasha. I think the Pshat is, and it could be this is Emes. The daf today began, Chel Paras Umaday Hapartimim. And the Gemara asked the Kasha, that in the beginning of the Megillah, it's Chel Paras Umaday. At the end of the Megillah, it's Madai Uparas. So which one was it? Was it Paras Umaday? Or was it Madai Uparas? Says the Gemara, Asnuye Asnu Bahadadi. The people of Paras and the people of Madai, these two nations, they formed this coalition, they joined forces, and they had to draw up an agreement. And basically it said that we're going to together rule. However, there's going to be some sort of arrangement. If the king is going to be from Paras, then the officers will be from Madai. If the king will be from Madai, the officers will be from Paras. That was the arrangement that they had. In other words, in the beginning of the Megillah, when it says Chel Paras Umadai, Paras at that time had the kingdom. At the end of the Megillah, when it says L'malchei Madai Uparas, then already we're describing it from the standpoint where it's Madai. Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush HaMegillah Esther says that why at the end is it Madai Uparas? Why? What happened at the end of the Megillah that suddenly became Madai Uparas? He says because the first time Madai and Paras joined forces, the king came from Madai and not from Paras. So being that first time it was from Madai, so therefore when you talk about it in a more historical, generic sense, so then you're going to talk about it from the standpoint of Madai Uparas. When you talk about Malchei Madai Uparas in the general sense, so you say first Madai and then Paras. But in the beginning of the Megillah, it's not Madai Uparas, but rather it's Paras Umadai. Why is it Paras Umadai? Because that's the way the Malchus was at that time. The Malchus was Paras. So you say Meres comes out of Gevalde Gezach. The Malchus of Achashverosh was a Malchus of what? It was a Malchus of Paras Umadai. The reason it was a Malchus of Paras Umadai is because at that time the king came from Paras. Achashverosh's father was a king. You know what his name was? His name was Daryavash Hamadai. His father was a king, but he was from Madai. The kingdom of Achashverosh was a kingdom of Chel Paras Umadai. It was Paras, it wasn't Madai. It was nice. It was Paras. So if it was Paras, so here you refer to him as a Melech Paras, but he's Mizerahu. He's from Zerah Madai. So Zok Rashi Vayibi Me Achashverosh. Hu Achashverosh Hamoylech Meyodavad Gush. What does it mean? Hamoylech Shemalach Meyatzmoy. What is Shemalach Meyatzmoy? Shalli Hoye Mizerah Hamalucha. Zok Rashi was Mizerah Hamalucha. His father was Dayavash Hamadai. Yes, father was Dayavash Hamadai. Mazel Tov. But he's the king of Paras. So if this was a Madai Uparas to Gemalchus, then it would have been very nice. So it would have stimmed. But it wasn't a Madai Uparas de Gemalchus, it was a Paras Umadai de Gemalchus. So clapping Malchus Paras Umadai, he's Loyoyim Mizera Malucha. It's like saying someone who's the son of the king of Iraq suddenly became the king of Saudi Arabia. It's very nice. He's Mizera HaMalucha. Not in Saudi Arabia, he's not. So what does that help him? The fact that he stams from. This was a Malchus of Paras Umadai, Chel Paras Umadai. That's the first Gemara that we learned. Who was Achashverosh's father? It's Dayavish HaMadai. Of course he came from Malchus. Rashi knows that. He knows the Messiah came from Malchus. But he came from Madai. Yet, a person who's the son of the king of Madai is ruling when it's Chel Paras Umadai. That's Malach Me'atzmai. That's what Rashi means. Maybe it's Emes. But the fourth and the final Ha'ara is, so the Gemara said, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but just to start, Shalu Talmidav es Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Talmidim asked Reb Shimon Bar Yochai that what did the Jews of that generation do to deserve to be wiped out? He said, "No, tell me them. You want to make a suggestion?" They said, "Yeah, because they had an Anam Misudasai Shal Oisai Harasha." We spoke out in the Daf Tchsam Sofer. What could have been so bad about Sudasai Shal Oisai Harasha? Because on some level, this was a celebration of the fact that the Navu of Yirmiyahu and Daniel wasn't going to play out. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "I hear it's a good thought, and it's definitely something that would warrant Nebuch something so terrible. But at the same time, if that's really what it was, then it should have only affected the Jews in Shushan, because only they went to the Suda. The Jews outside of Shushan didn't go. So why would it have been Lahashmidu, Lahareg, all the Yidden living in all 127 Medinas?" So they said, "Okay, Rabbi, so you say." So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "They should shtachvu l'tzelem." It's because they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's for that reason. So they said, if that's the reason, the whole Klal Yisrael bow down to the Tzelem? If this was really so bad, so how did they creep out of this? So how did it not happen? How was this whole thing averted? So the Gemara says, said, what they did and the way they acted, as terrible and as miserable as it was, but it was only outward. It was a superficial thing. It was mi'ira. They were just doing it because they were afraid. But deep down, they didn't really bow down to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. So Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, lo yosimon el lefonim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing. And Kadosh Baruch Hu acted and behaved in a way as if something terrible was going to happen, but really never meant for anything terrible to happen. That really HaKadosh Baruch Hu never in his mind thought for 1 minute that all of this was going to happen. It's kedai to just take a look at the Marsha for 1 second, the Chidushei Agadas on this Gemara. It's a few lines, just read it inside. Says the Marsha, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aso Himahem Aso Himahem Lefanim Ratzo Leimar Shehem Layasu Rak Miyiras Hariga. The Yidden bowed down to the Tzelem because they were afraid. Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, they were three tzaddikim, they were thrown into the Kif Shanesh, but all the other Jews were guilty. Kimafurish b'sefer Daniel. V'lo yasu kein b'liban l'avod avod azara. They never really in their heart worshipped avod azara. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasu himoim rak lefonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing. Liyarim, to scare the Yidden. Sheruyim l'kloya, to make them think that something bad might happen. Sheyidagu, so that they'll be worried. Sheyasu tshuva, and then they'll do tshuva al yedei kach. V'hainu kinloi ina ha'adam yilibay, m'yasa avero, v'chulu v'chulu. Says the Marsha, the Yidden only acted outwardly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted as if something was going to happen. The Yidden acted in a bad way because they were afraid. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Mida k'negen mida? He scared the Yidden. They acted miyira, so now he caused fright to the Yidden. But really, the Purim story was never going to happen. It's not shot that really there was a gzeira. It was about to happen at the last second. All of a sudden, disaster averted. It's not what happened. This was never supposed to go down. Everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. The Yidden was supposed to be afraid. They were going to hopefully do tshuva. Now, if they wouldn't have done tshuva, that's on the gals. But assuming they were going to do tshuva, there was never really... Xeru would scare them, get them to a point where the Yidden are going to do tshuva, and if they do tshuva, everything is going to be beseder. So I was thinking, just a very, very poshta machshava. Chazal, in so many different places, they talk about how the Yidden, as a nation, had to be in Golos 4 times. Right? The Arba Golios. Golos Bavel, Golos Paras U'Madai, or Madai U'Paras. You have Golos Yavon, and then you have Golos Edom. Golos Bavel was the Babylonian Empire. Paras U'Madai, that's Persia. Golos Yavam is the Greeks. And Edom were the Romans that destroyed the second base of Mikdash and really everything that we've been through since Churban Bayis Sheni. If you think about it, Golos Bavel, what was the symbol of Golos Bavel? It's the fact that they destroyed the first base of Mikdash. Golos Yavam, that's the Hanukkah story. They ransacked the Beis HaMikdash. And really, all the spiritual tzaris that the Yidden had and have, Adayim Azeh, is all attributed to Golos Yavon. Edom, the Roman Empire, they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And really, when you think of the Roman Empire, you're thinking all the way to Nazi Germany. This is all part of Golos Edom. It's all part of what Chazal meant when they said Edom. So we understand the defining character traits of all these different Golias. But what was Golos Paras U'Madai? I mean, Paras U'Madai is in the same conversation. It's on that same Mount Rushmore of Golias. You have Golos Bavel, you have Paras U'Madai, you have Yavan, and you have Edom. What was Paras U'Madai? What happened in Golos Paras U'Madai? It wasn't so bad. Go through Ezra and Nehemiah. Paras U'Madai let the Yidden rebuild the second base of Mikdash. Wasn't such a terrible deal. In fact, Daryavash II was Esther's son. Things seemed to be pretty good. What was so terrible about Golos Paras? What was the defining moment of Paras U'Madai? It's the Purim story. It's Pashat. That's what it is. It's the Purim story. It's Vayhibi Me'ach HaShverish. That's what it was. But here's the interesting thing. Nothing ever happened to Me'ach HaShverish. Nothing happened. Was there one casualty during the Purim story? Nothing happened. It was V'nahapachul HaYehudim. The whole Golos Paras U'Madai was one big scare. That's really all it was. Nothing happened. Bavel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Yavan Upkaret destroyed the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. Edom destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Edom gassed 6 million Jews not so long ago. What did Paras U'Madai do? How did they get into this Chabura? What is the definition? What is Paras U'Madai? How do you even understand Golos Paras U'Madai? Like, what is it? It seems like from this Gemara, Golos Paras U'Madai, And really, the sight of Baruch Samadai was to scare the Yidden. And I think sometimes you find this in life where the Eibishter will send a person an Nisayon, and the Nisayon was a scare. That's all it is. And in life, people were always being scared. This happens, that happens. It could be medical, it could be this, it could be that. There's always scares. And really, that's the essence of what Paras U'madai was. Paras U'madai scared the Jews. There was a gzera. The Yidden were living with this gzera for a long time. And every night, Yidden are going to sleep, and every morning they're waking up knowing that Yud Gimel Adar is a day that circles Man Kilo L'Chayli, where they're going to come after us. And it was very, very scary. And the Yidden were living in fear. Who knows how this is going to play out? And that's really the essence of Paras U'madai. And that's a golus. It's a golus. It could be a bitter golus. To be scared and to be living in fear could be very, very, very not pashut. But what do you see from Purim? What do you see from golus Paras U'madai? At the end of the day, when the Eibush just scares a person, it's really an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's a wake up. It's an opportunity to do tshuva. It's an opportunity for a person to be mizbainin. When the Eibush wanted to send a golus that was going to wipe out a Beis HaMikdash and Yidden, there was Bavel, there was Edom, there was Yavon. These are fighting Golias. But every Golias is unique. Every Golias is different. Every Golias has its defining tchunas. And the defining tchuna of Baruch Samadai, it would seem, was Kila Yina Beliba, because I never wanted to do anything. So what then did you do? Zokhtim Arshad, this was all a way to get the Jews to wake up. So like this, they'll do tshuva. And you know what happened? What happens if a person goes through an ordeal in life, and then Baruch Hashem, he makes it out, and everything is fine. You feel like a 1,000-pound weight is taken off your chest, and you appreciate life more. And you're able to start appreciating every minute and realizing that, you know what, right? That's often the hirhurim that happens. That's exactly what Klal Yisrael did. What happened right after the Purim story? It's a chiddush that they're mekabel Torah ba'ahava. I don't think it's a chiddush at all. To go through such a trauma, to go through such an event, and to be in such a eis tzara hila yakiv, and then all of a sudden, averted, done, nothing to worry about. They came about and they were makabel Torah b'ahava. They say, you know something, we're wasting our time. We're busy, like, being narish. Really, it's what we have. And this was the wake-up call that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael, and they responded. And the way they responded was with a second Beis HaMikdash, with Hadik Kibluah B'Veach HaShmerish, because that's always the way it is. When a person goes through something, if it doesn't kill him, he ends up walking out and emerging stronger. And that's exactly what happened to the Bnei Yisrael at this time. It's just a hergish, chvesnish. But this idea of Paras U'madai, nothing really happened. The galus was, it was the fear, it was the scare, like the Marshal says, it was Yira. The Eibush was just trying to scare Klal Yisrael. Why just scare? Just if you want to take, there were no concentration camps. There weren't. What it was scare, it was fear. It was a wake-up call. It was an opportunity for the Yidden to be able to do tshuva. And the Yidden did do tshuva, and that's why it went from being Vayir Shusha Nevaicha to La Yehudim Hoysa Oyre Vesimcha Vesasim Vikar. Maybe a little bit of a deeper appreciation for what Golus Paras U'madai is, and certainly a positive takeaway in terms of understanding that from Yira, with fear comes opportunity. And I think that's very, very much the feature of the Purim story. There was Yira, there was fear, there was Daiga, and what came from that? What came from that was a Hadr Kiblua B'mei HaShverish. The Yidden were Mekabel Torah in a way in that generation that they weren't Mekabel Torah when they left Mitzrayim during the Dar Deya, because that feeling of relief and appreciation for every moment and every day, Vos Tutzach, that wake-up call was something that they very, very much took, and it resulted in tremendous yeshuas.